Hi and welcome to Danilo Magari's podcast, where you get content on leadership, innovation and artificial intelligence.
So, thank you so much for taking the time to chat to us.
Thank you.
We're very much looking forward to your session at the Exchange. Would you start by telling us a little bit more about your experience in delivering intelligent automation programs?
Sure. So my experience with automation really started back in 2008 when I joined World Bank of Canada. It was a very difficult time for financial services. That's when the financial meltdown happened. But I kind of pitched it as an opportunity to the bank that, look, we're going to have to let people go, but we still have to maintain the same level of service. So what don't we do with automation? And they all kind of looked at me like I was crazy. But, you know, over time, it kind of proved to them that it could be done, the lots of proofs of concepts, and the program really grew. It came to a point where it had a global reach, so it had teams in Canada, in America, in Japan, in Hong Kong, in London, in France, quite a few places. And we ended up, you know, just through our own tools internally, the things that we could develop, that we could automate, automating almost 25% of the middle office and back office operations, which is major. That kind of got us into different committees for the financial regulators in terms of advising the regulator what to look out for automation, because they started getting a little bit worried that other banks would start doing that. Anyway, if you automate things, there's a danger of systematic collapse and all kinds of stuff from banks. Then I left. I had achieved some really great things in RBC. I loved my time and experience there. I think I was one of the youngest ever associate directors there in their history.
Wow,
it's a 150-year-old bank. I left and I started doing my own thing. I became a consultant on my own. I've always wanted to do that. I moved to the Middle East. I moved to Dubai. Then I did that for about 3 years. I did consultancy for a number of companies, mostly kind of medium to smaller size. But also for governments as well, around the Middle East and for Europe as well. Consulting in terms of transformation, digitization, anything to do with the innovation piece for automation as well, how to start an automation program for RPA and AI, etc. That went very, very well. For personal reasons, and also I was kind of a little tired of my stint. I kind of had done my consultancy thing. That was a great experience for me to grow. Then I moved back to the UK, where I got a chance to head up Citigroup's AI and machine learning division for the markets division, which was the biggest division for Citigroup. When I joined, there was nothing there, really, to be honest. There were a couple of people in the team, but we had a vision to become a market leader in AI and machine learning, at least for financial services. And very, very quickly, we started doing a number of things that were very innovative, I think, a very different approach to what anybody else is doing. We started putting in data analytics to kind of pick up what people are doing on a day-to-day basis. Because if you don't understand what your company is doing, it's very hard for you to know what to automate. So we started the right way around, whereas a lot of programs, they start off automating things and then they kind of just keep waiting for people to come and bring them things. But we started doing properly, kind of, we try to understand what the company is doing, first of all. And then with that, we also introduced something called manual touch points, which is really about seeing how many times people click and on things in order to complete a process. So how manual is the process? We came up with a measure for that, which is also very innovative. And then with that, we started off with the RPA program and the AI program. And I managed to deliver the first ever AI program for Citigroup in their history. Which was really great. In total, for the automation program, which was me and the colleagues as well, we got over to 100 plus robots. We made some significant savings for the bank. It was a very interesting time because, you know, the paradigm really shifted. We were kind of the outsiders who had these funky, crazy ideas that never really worked previously. And then, you know, within 6 months, we had some really senior backing, you know, the head of the markets division, you know, the board level attention was given to our program. So we're really grateful for that experience. I think that really taught me how to do things properly and very different to what everybody else is doing. I think so it was quite a fresh perspective. Different auditors and different consultancy firms looked at our program and they were really amazed. McKinsey, Ernst & Young, etc., a number of others, and they were, you know, just hands down, like, your program is the best in the financial services industry we've ever seen. Out of anybody, JP Morgan, Goldman's. So I was really chuffed with that.
Amazing achievement.
Then, to be honest with you, it's always been in my heart to kind of do something, to do this stuff for something which is for the greater good, rather than just kind of keep adding, you know, zeros to a bank's balance sheet. And, you know, no offense, you know, banks have their place in society, but you know, helping people is really, banks do help people, invest in charities and do a lot of things like that, a lot of work in that space. But so I always wanted to do it for healthcare, because I've been seeing for a couple of years that, you know, tech healthcare is a really hot area at the moment. And I got a chance to work for United Health, so I joined them as an associate director. It's a much bigger program. It's a much bigger company. It's the world's 13th largest company, the world's largest healthcare provider. Over 300,000 people work for United Health, with, you know, tens of different companies that's owned by the group. So it's a really a very big monster to dissect. It's a big challenge, and I'm doing it with a great team as well. And there as well, we've also reached, you know, over 100 bots. We have a very sizable program. We are UiPath's biggest customer. So much so that we're having to co-develop things with them and do things with them in order to, you know, to sustain such a large program. So, you know, in terms of the programs that I've worked in for Citigroup and United Health, you know, we're breaking new barriers that haven't been seen before, because we really are the best or the largest in terms of, you know, the automation industry for RPA and AI. So it's a really exciting time. So that's kind of a little bit about my background. And I've also dedicated a lot of my time for the technical aspects of the program. So I'm technically able as well. I'm doing a master's in engineering for AI. I've done pretty much every course that I can ever see, get my hands on, in terms of AI and machine learning, and for RPA as well. So I'm used to kind of helping run also the development teams as well, and being very involved with them, and driving new ways of doing things from a technical and architectural perspective as well.
What do you think drives your interest in this area?
I saw a statistic a couple of years back that, you know, by this time this year, 90% of companies will have an automation program. And I started doing a lot of research into how it's going to change organizational structures and then society structures. So, you know, it's bigger than just corporations. It's affecting our society. And if you look at the amount of, you know, right now we're sitting here with a smartphone, we have a laptop, I have two phones in my jacket, I have two laptops in my room. You know, the amount of devices everybody's carrying, the amount of AI that's going on in the background is just insane. And the way that we're making smart homes, we're making driverless car, you know, self-driving cars, tech that can pick up if you're sick before you actually get sick, you know, all this kinds of stuff is really going to change the way we live. So that gets me up in the morning. I think the fact that I'm helping run a program that is market leading as well, it kind of really motivates me to kind of do more in it. And also the work I'm doing on the NGO space as well is for me really motivating. I'm also on the board for the European Union, for advisory on AI policies and governance. So I help set the policies for, you know, industries in the European Union on how AI should be used, and, you know, the different dangers with it that people need to be careful with and corporations need to be careful with. And then we help educate, you know, the market in the European Union for that. And I'm also trying to do the same for America and other places as well.
Very impressive achievements there. I'm sure they all didn't come without their own challenges though. So I guess in your experience, what were some of the key challenges in implementing these innovative programs, and how did you overcome those?
I think I personally have various challenges. And I think in general, people also have different kind of challenges that I had, because my experience has been a little bit different to a lot of people. In general, I think people have the challenge of not knowing what technology to use, what platform to go with, what vendor to use. But I didn't have that, at least in the second and third program that I helped run. The challenges I had really were just the human aspects of things, the politics around the fact that, you know, you're an automation team, you're helping automate people's jobs, and that you're hoping that they're going to collaborate with you. I think that's the human aspect, funny enough, has been the most difficult part of everything, not the technical aspect. And also in the beginning, whenever you have a new program, the politics around getting senior buy-in, you know, seniors kind of are always careful to back up new things unless they've seen it's proven and tested, you know, it works. So kind of, you know, the politics around, you know, who should back it up. And once it is proven, everybody wants to back it up. So who should be the main sponsor of that in terms of the senior level? The main difficulties I've found in my programs is really the human aspect, which is very, which is funny to say, because I think it all comes down to education. So that's another challenge as well, kind of educating people on the fact that, look, this is not about replacing jobs. This is about augmenting your job so you can do it better, and so that we can provide a better customer service, and ultimately, you know, help the company make more money and save money as well. But a lot of people, they don't see it that way. I think they see it as a threat to their jobs. And that's the danger around this. When you start off a program, you can't do it in a big bang where you're telling everybody everything, but you've got to tell people enough so they don't feel scared. And, you know, so there is misinformation. The challenges I've had around is really the human side. But, you know, you can get around that by doing a number of things. You know, you put out news feeds about what the program is doing. You can do town halls. You can pick up specific case studies that you've done already and get people who have experienced automation to talk about that to the rest of the company. You know, the visibility, the communication side of things is very important. So you can kind of get around most of that with communication, but politics sometimes is politics. So just have to go through the cycle and the evolution of that, and, you know, hopefully it becomes less of a barrier with time.
Amazing. What would you say are the critical success factors for driving innovation in large enterprises?
Factors as in challenges or just key ingredients?
Key ingredients.
I think any company of any stature, they need to see proofs of concepts. They need to see pilots, you know, coming to fruition. So I think the most important thing is, you know, coming up with a business case, finding a reason for using a particular technology, and then doing a proof of concept that hopefully is successful, and then, you know, showing its value in a short space of time. Sometimes there is value, but it comes too late. It comes within a year or two, and, you know, other people lose interest. So it's really about business cases, finding the right business case. I think a lot of people see RPA and AI as a silver bullet, you can fix everything, but that's not the case. People need to be honest about that. I think, it's conflicts of interest in that space where vendors are trying to say they can do everything, and then companies, when they come to actually try it, you know, it's not possible. So it's really, really important to pick the right business case for the right technology. That's an ingredient. The other thing is culture. You know, a company with the right culture will embrace innovation differently to others. So one of the big reasons why I joined United Health Group is because of the culture they have. You know, it's not just a word on a placard somewhere. It's embedded into people's way of being throughout the day. So, you know, the culture of one of the pillars is innovation. You know, and the fact that you have that as a pillar of your culture, and you follow it, and you do that every single day, and everybody follows that, you know, it really helps when you bring up new ideas. Everybody just embraces it. So the culture aspect is really important. The other thing as well is, you know, we can't get away from the fact that, you know, businesses are in business to provide a better customer experience and for the money. So two big ingredients is really, you know, making sure that you're adding to the customer experience through your program. You're enhancing in some way, shape or form, you know, how clients are seeing and using your products, and having, you know, a better result out of it. I think, you know, over time we'll get to see how the automation program is helping save people's lives and how it's helping make people's lives better through different measurements. We're working on that. And then, you know, the fact is also bottom line, you know, performance. You know, we need to do better for our shareholders. By having successful automation programs that are helping save money and helping create new revenues and better customer experience, you know, these are two. This is another huge ingredient as part of that. And probably the last one is you need the right people to do the job, which is obvious. But, you know, people kind of overstep that sometimes. you know, having experienced people that know how to run our automation programs, that have done it and tried it before, is really key. So in my team, you know, with the other seniors that run the program as well, we've all done it before in different companies. We've all been there. We've tried and failed a few times. Then when we came to this program, it really helped us kind of do the right things and not make the same mistakes again. So having a really high performance team is really helpful as well.
What are the biggest lessons you've learned throughout this automation journey, as well as your career as a whole?
Say that again. Sorry.
The biggest lessons you've learned throughout your career in automation.
First of all, I would say
it's kind of combine it with this question that says, if you had one piece of advice for your peers from your experience.
I think in the beginning of when anyone goes into the area of automation, it's AI or RPA, whatever technology you're using, it's kind of learning what's out there, because it is a bit of a jungle. There is, I would say, nearly 1,000 companies that do solutions for AI at the moment and RPA. Of course, you have the big three, but you have a number of smaller ones which are very capable as well. So it's kind of just depicting all of that and seeing where all the vendors lie and how they overlap, and also understanding where they're going as well, because 6 months from now, it's going to be a very different picture from what it was today. So just learning technology, learning the technical aspects of it, I think it's really key, kind of understanding the market better. The other thing as well I'd say is the lessons around the human elements as well, like I mentioned before. You know, understanding that it's not as simple as just going to a company or a team and saying, hey, I'm going to automate everything you're doing. You have to first of all be very honest about what you're going to automate, so you don't set the wrong expectations. And then all the psychological aspects of, you know, the politics around it, like I mentioned before. And then the education piece. You know, you have to really involve the people who are part of the journey with you, and not just kind of use them and go, once you've automated, say thanks very much and kind of walk away. You know, my view, something I've really learned is, it's really powerful when you take subject matter experts with you on the journey, and then as they're going through the journey of automating something, they're learning about automation, and then they become part of your team, or they go into another team that they then help you automate something else, and that snowballs. So that's probably one of the biggest lessons I've learned. And if I was to give advice to, it would be a different set of advice to vendors and a different set of advice to people running automation programs. I think they're doing very different things, actually. For vendors, I would say it is, you know, be honest about the solutions you're providing. But most of all, I think bring relevant use cases to the table. So sometimes when a vendor is coming to speak to a company, they're talking about solutions from a different industry. And when that company is receiving that information, they don't really see how that's relevant to them. So it's really important for vendors to come up with solutions which are more tailor-made for a specific market, rather than just trying to make something general all the time. And I think they're starting to realize that. They're coming through that journey. And the other advice I'll give, but it's more for the corporate side, where for people who are running automation programs, is, you know, you gotta be very careful with the use cases that you pick. Because a lot of times you end up receiving a request to automate something. And because you get the business trying to drive you to go and do that, you have some very passionate people behind that, you end up trying to fit, you know, a round hole into a square peg into a round hole. And then you end up taking much longer to make the automation happen. It's not as successful. And then it's not a great showcase of what the technology can do. So, you know, staying, you know, true to yourself, you know, trying to learn what the company is doing, rather than kind of waiting for users in the company to give you automation ideas. Mm-hmm. Try to understand what the company is doing first, and then go after the low-hanging fruits. You know, instead of trying to automate something for one team, try to see what, you know, 50 teams are doing, and see if there's one automation you could provide that's going to help 20 teams. And then you maintain one automation for 20 teams, rather than maintaining 20 automations for 20 teams. So just trying to think, you know, make sure that you take a step back. You don't, you know, implode under the pressure of the company to provide return on investment. And you just, you know, you take a look back and you just try to be more strategic about it, rather than just trying to kind of be reactive. So be a bit more proactive than reactive. That's the biggest advice I'd give to people running automation programs today.
Really, really interesting stuff. finally, what is the significance for you in speaking at the Exchange?
I really feel that automation is a little different to a lot of other initiatives that have happened in the past. I think because it is within the IT arena, it is to do with technology. You know, there's been typically always the culture of sharing, of having code that people can reuse, that is available for free. You know, I think in general, a lot of IT people, they have no qualms about sharing their knowledge and sharing, you know, the technology that they have, and often for free. So it's the same thing with going to the talk for the event. You know, I think I've gone through some great experiences. I've made some mistakes. I've also done some great things as well, which are different to everybody else. So, you know, the best way I can without divulging any private information, I think it's good to share that. And then it's good to see the reaction that people have and also to hear what they've gone through as well. I think it's such a new area. There is so much marketing going on and not real tangible things that people can touch. So this is a great time, probably for this year and next year, to really soak that information in and learn from the people that have actually done it. They're not just kind of talking about it, or they're not trying to sell something, so that you can really kind of look back in your program and, you know, and really reflect, you know, if you're doing it right or not, or if there's anything else you could be doing. So these talks, you know, it's vitally important, especially one like this, which is invitation only, and it's a select group of people. You know, to be in the room of, you know, high caliber individuals like that who have done it before, and are running significant programs, I think it's going to be really insightful and just, you know, priceless.
Perfect.
Thanks, and to get more content, please visit www.danilamatgary.com.